Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin Healthcare, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Long with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare, with more Healthy Matters.
And good morning. Welcome to this edition of Healthy Matters. Dr. David Hilden is your host, and he is back. Good morning. Nice to see you again.
Good morning, Denny.
You've been kind of on assignment.
I've been gone, haven't I? I've been on assignment, all right. I was in Washington, D.C., roaming the halls of the Capitol on behalf of our physician organization, so that was nice. And then last week, I was just visiting our hoodlum daughter in L.A.
Oh, how's she doing?
She's doing great. She loves it. We went to a place we've never been.
She's an actor.
She's an actor. She is. And she will be angry at me for saying this, but she has a little teeny 2-second facial part in the new Godzilla movie.
You were telling me about that.
She'll be mad at me for that. It's an uncredited part, but there is a scene in this Godzilla movie where she's there. And so my mom, my dad, my wife, her brother, we all went to see Godzilla, which I hope you like.
Oh, it's out now.
Oh, it's out. It came out the other day. So we went and saw Godzilla.
You sat through it a few times?
We sat through it once, which for my wife was one time probably too many.
Well, good for her.
Yeah. So anyway, we were visiting her in L.A. Thank you to my colleagues who filled in. Thank you to the pharmacist who did the show 2 weeks ago. Thank you to Sam Ives who filled in ably, as he always does, last week. And I am indeed back.
Well, we have a big topic today that I know is going to bring in a lot of phone calls and text messages. And when you tell us what it's going to be, then I'll give the information
okay.
about how to contact.
Sounds good. We're talking about your hearing today, hearing loss and hearing and how you might know if you need help with that and how you might get evaluated. So that's what we're going to talk about. Do you want to give the phone
lines? Yeah, let's do that.
And then
I know we'll be busy. So before you introduce your guest, 651-989-9226. If you have a question, either for yourself or someone you care about hearing loss, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Who did you bring with you today?
So I have Megan McCoy in the studio today. She is a physician assistant with a specialty in ear, nose, and throat. That would be ENT. Or for the nerdy kind of in honor of the spelling bee, that would be an otolaryngology department.
Yep.
Megan, thanks for being on the show.
Of course.
Megan's been with Hennepin for how long?
5 years.
Okay, so tell us about yourself a little bit so we get to know who you are and what the heck you do. How'd you land in Minneapolis?
Sure. So I am originally from New York, Long Island, and I went to college at the University of Miami in Florida, where I met the love of my life. And I went to PA school. I moved back to the Bronx for PA school, went to Mercy, New York. And Nate was in Illinois at the University of Illinois, Champaign, getting his PhD.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. Another Big Ten school. So I moved out there when I finished, and he finished up his school and got a job. He's tenure track here at the University of Minnesota, which I learned recently is also called the U.
It is the U.
Well, but the University of Miami is the U.
And it's got that big U
and
on
it has
helmet.
Right, of course. That's how what everybody knows is the U. So I was a little confused when I got here. But yeah, no, we're here now. We're very happy.
You like it here?
Love it.
And so so I do have to say about that, I didn't know other universities called themselves the U.
They don't.
I thought
it's
we
just,
were the U.
No, it's just the University of Miami and apparently Minnesota.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Which is weird.
We'll re-educate you, Megan. We'll re-educate you on the correct, which school is really the U.
You should be the M, though. It's an M, right?
Oh, yeah. Whatever. No, I don't know, but they just call us the U, and it's, you know, my alma mater a few times over. So, you know.
Sure, right.
So you're here in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
You do ENT.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so ENT, ear, nose, and throat. I specialize, every otolaryngologist specializes in all three. As a PA, I do general ENT, and so a little bit of each. Physicians can subspecialize in ENT, so we have, you know, head and neck cancer specialists, facial plastic specialists, neurotologists, which specialize in just ears. And so at Hennepin, we have kind of a nice mix of everybody. So there's six physicians and two PAs, along with five audiologists at our practice who do the hearing tests.
That sounds awesome. I think I've had a few of the – well, I know I have. I've had a couple of the audiologists in past years on the show. And so we talked about hearing loss. It's been a couple of years, I think, since we've had that conversation. So in your practice, tell me what you see.
So I see everything. I see children. I see adults. Every type of problem, you know, above the collarbone will come and see us. I would say probably ears are a majority of what I see, mostly because general practitioners don't have the ability to do hearing tests. They can do like hearing screenings and things like that, which are nice if they're normal. But we actually have the audiologists who are, you know, masters and doctorate trained providers who put you in a soundproof booth and can really get to the nitty gritty and find out what's going on. So
my guess is that a great number of our listeners are it pertains to them. Hearing loss is just so common. So listeners, turn up your radios.
Right.
If you can't hear us, turn up your radios. We're going to give you some advice about what to do about that. So hearing loss specifically, common problem?
Very common. It's estimated that about 50 million Americans suffer from hearing loss, and there's about 200,000 new cases every year of all ages. And, you know, that includes children who are born deaf or develop hearing loss as they get older. And, of course, the aging population, which we know tends to suffer from hearing
loss.
That's
huge. So, you know, a lot of people say this word to me, say, well, yeah, I can't hear quite well, but it's just normal. I'm getting older. It's not particularly.
It's not. I mean, yes.
It's common.
It's common. And we do lose our hearing as we get older. But that would be equivalent to an older person saying, yeah, I, you know, can't move around because of arthritis. That's normal. Well, it's not normal. Hearing loss is expected as we age. You know, our nerves tend to get a little bit weaker and die off. It's certainly not normal, and I have plenty of older people who have great hearing, normal hearing.
Is that the main thing that causes, and I'm talking specifically in people who are getting older and their hearing's going, is it neurologic?
It is. Well, it's nerve damage, yeah. It's just progressive weakness of the hearing nerve. And there's a few things that will make that worse for some people. Noise exposure, of course, is the big one. So if you lived your life around loud noise as a factory worker or a truck driver, you'll more likely to get some hearing loss. There's also a genetic component. So if you had parents and grandparents who wore hearing aids, there's a good chance that you will as well. So
what about rock concerts?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's I always think I'm doomed one day, you know. You know, although I didn't do a whole lot, but I, as listeners know, I've done my fair share of Bruce Springsteen concerts.
It doesn't take a lot.
It doesn't.
It does not take a lot to get some degree of hearing loss.
What about short-term exposures? Like I've had a lot of listeners over the years call and say I was in the infantry, and so I had firearms.
Yep.
Can short-term exposures like to firearms?
Absolutely.
You know, people who were at the range or even in war zones or whatever, where there's things blowing up and then just the shot of the rifle you're shooting.
So to give you an example, dangerous levels of noise are anything above like loud traffic. That's about as loud as it should be before you start getting nerve damage over time.
Wow. And you know, and we live in such a noisy world. I live under the flight path of the,
right,
of the airplanes. And I remember writing a paper once for my public health degree about environmental noise, and I was using the airplanes as another one. So so traffic is kind of a normal amount. And then
it's a high normal. So we want to be quieter than like loud traffic. That is the upper limits of normal where you know, exposure for that for a significant amount of time will give you long-term hearing loss.
Is there any way that people who are already – we're going to talk about what you do for people when we get into the clinic. But are there – you know, is there anything people can do once your hearing has started to fade?
So protection from that point on. So preserve what you've kept. There's no way to reverse nerve damage. Well, you know, we can talk about other types of hearing loss that are reversible, but but that noise exposure type of hearing loss, that sensory neural hearing loss, is not reversible. And so if you've already had some loss, I always recommend limit your noise exposure, wear earplugs, just be very careful. There are things that are loud that we don't think about, like mowing the lawn, blow drying your hair, things like that.
I actually, somebody scared me into that, and I scared is not the right word, but kind of made me more aware of that. And I was realizing that when I was just, we've never talked about this on the air, running your home machines like a snowblower, mm-hmm. that thing was loud, really loud. Yeah. And the little cap I was wearing, because it was cold out, wasn't cutting it. So I started putting a little earplugs in my ear when I was snowblowing.
Great. Perfect.
I had never even considered that before. That's probably a great idea. Your lawnmower, your leaf blower, your snowblower, all that stuff.
Yep, all of that.
And what about, let's talk about some other causes then. So we've got the progressive loss of neurologic damage that that comes. What are some other causes?
So there's basically two types of hearing loss. There's what we call conductive hearing loss, where you can't conduct sound from the outer ear to the inner ear or the nerve. And then there's the nerve hearing loss or sensory neural hearing loss. So conductive loss can be anything that blocks sound waves. So wax, fluid behind the eardrum, arthritis of the tiny bones of hearing behind your eardrum.
You can get arthritis of the tiny bones of your ear?
Of the ossicles, you sure can.
They're little bitty little bones.
They are little bitty bones, yep. They're called ossicles, and so you can get arthritis of these. They're bones. They're just like any other bone in your body. There are specific reasons why you get otosclerosis, is what that's called. Mm-hmm. But these conductive types of hearing loss are typically reversible. You remove the wax, you drain the fluid, and the hearing will come back up to normal. As opposed to the sensory neural hearing loss, which again is nerve damage, and we don't have the technology to fix.
Earwax. What the heck is? Okay, when I went into, what am I going to go into in med school?
Uh-huh.
It was kind of a joke about, when we were talking about ENT, I said, well, I think it's a lot of earwax and boogers
snot,
and
right.
snot and saliva. It's all this like gross crud.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So what's the deal with earwax? A, uh-huh. why do we have it? B, is it important to get rid of it? And C, does it lead to hearing loss?
Yes. So, why do we have earwax? So earwax is normal. People think that it's a sign of being dirty and this and that. It's not. Everybody makes earwax. It does have a purpose. It's supposed to trap dirt and debris in your ear canal so that it doesn't migrate all the way down to your eardrum and cause you problems. There are tiny little glands in our ear canal about halfway. If you think of it, the ear canal as like a cave or a tunnel, about halfway down that cave are these tiny little glands that make wax. And that will come out on its own. It kind of migrates out with the skin of the ear canal. It's not a problem. It doesn't cause issues. But the people who have issues typically are the ones who use Q-tips. Mm.
I was wondering if you're going to bring up Q-tips.
Oh, of course I'm going to bring up
Q-tips. I bet you're going to tell us not to use them.
I definitely am going to tell you not to use it. And I will tell you that if I had a dollar for every Q-tip that I've taken out of somebody's ear, I probably wouldn't have to work.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
So you're fishing these things out?
All the time.
Just the little tips of
them? The little cotton that comes off. Yeah. Now, and the other problem with Q-tips, not only can a Q-tip get stuck in there, but it's pushing the wax in and it's packing it in. And all of a sudden, it's past the point of those glands. And that the skin of the distal or the further part of the ear canal isn't the same as the type that kind of sheds. And so once it's there, you're done. I mean, it's not going to come out.
There.
It's sitting in there, and it's right on top of your eardrum. So you pack it all in, and all of a sudden you're like wearing an earwax earplug, and you're not going to hear anything. And it can actually be very painful if it starts to push on your eardrum a little bit. And so, it takes me a very long time to get out in the clinic. So
why do we have those little cotton swab things?
I mean, they are for other...
Some other reason.
And if you read...
Cleaning grout.
If you read the box, it will tell you, don't put this in your ear.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's what most people...
I know we have to take a break, but what are you supposed
to talk more about that.
What are you supposed to do with the earwax? Just forget about it?
Just, it comes out on its own, Denny. Don't have to worry about it.
Okay. There goes the stock in Q-tips.
I did have a guy who's was doing it in the shower with the Q-tip and put it through his eardrum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've seen that all the time.
Popped a hole in the eardrum. Oh, you know, yeah. Okay, we're going to talk more about that.
All right. In fact, if you have any kind of a question about hearing loss, this is your chance. This is your show. Call us with your question or send a text. 81807 is the text, or the phone number is 651-989-9226. 72 degrees are predicted high today, right now on CCO 55. And welcome back to A Healthy Matters. We're talking about your hearing loss, symptoms, and causes of hearing loss. If you have a question about that, 651-989-9226. Text, meanwhile, is 81807. Here again is Dr. Hilden.
Thank you, Denny. We're talking to Megan McCoy, who works in the ENT department at Hennepin Healthcare. As always, I like to say a few times during the show how you might get in touch with any of our clinicians at Hennepin. The number is 612-873-6963, 612-873-6963. If you didn't catch it that time, I'll say it again later. You can always go to hennepinhealthcare.org, hennepinhealthcare.org, and learn all about the ear, nose, throat services we have. Where do you practice? Are you at the new building?
Oh, yeah.
We still call it the new building.
It's been a year.
We're going to call it the new building until there's a newer one.
Exactly.
I think.
Exactly.
It's Minnesota's most state-of-the-art medical facility.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
I think I can say that with some certainty.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
And it's not only is it nice looking, but it's warm and welcoming. It has over 600 pieces of artwork, which is the number one thing people tell me when they go there. They say, "Oh yeah, I liked my provider. Oh yeah, I liked it all."
But that picture,
that artwork, and it's all local artists. It was either employees or local artists, with a couple exceptions of some bigger pieces. But anyway, beyond that, the building doesn't make good healthcare. It's just one piece. What makes good healthcare is great people that you will see. Mm-hmm. Doctors, nurses, physician assistants, nurse practitioners, physical therapists. We run the gamut, surgeons, all of that. So hennepinhealthcare.org. Tell them I sent you. It's a personal recommendation. Okay, before we move on, I want to talk a little bit more about the Q-tip and the earwax situation. So people want it out for whatever reason. And you said it's normal and you're not supposed to put Q-tips in there. When should somebody have, like a professional like you, take it out?
Yeah, so if you feel plugged, like you just can't hear, and typically when I say plugged and it's earwax, it kind of comes and goes. As that wax kind of moves around, some days will be better, some days will be worse, and you can, you know, squish on your ear a little bit, and that'll change your hearing. Or if you notice a lot of wax is coming out and you're worried that there's more in there, then that's a great time. You can see, and the nice thing is, I mean, you can see me in ENT, and that's totally fine. It's a majority of what I do. But even family practice, urgent care, there are other facilities that are trained to take out earwax, and they can just kind of flush it out a little bit.
You kind of take some saline or something and
flush
it out?
I actually really like peroxide. So peroxide actually dissolves wax as well as loosens it up. And there are over-the-counter, like Debrox is a famous one that you can buy.
Are those worth a try at home?
Absolutely.
They're safe and all that?
Absolutely. Eardrops are safe. What is not safe is ear candling. That I definitely do not.
Say more about that, could you?
So ear candling, well, I don't know a lot about it because I tell people just don't do it.
Right.
So ear candling is, I don't know where it came from or who started it. It probably goes back a long ways, where you basically take this funnel and you smoke out the ear. With fire, with flame. The problem is
get out.
You are putting fire in your ear. And so I've seen severe burns in the ear canal and around the ear from this type of thing. So
okay, we're going to come out with that's maybe not such a good idea.
Yeah, not such a good idea.
All right, the heck with that. Does your hearing get better when let's say somebody has a lot?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You take it out,
they feel
a little
right
bit better.
Right away.
What other kind, we have people on the line and we have text messages, but I want to kind of follow this train of thought if we could. What other kind of conductive sort of reversible things? You said earwax is one of them.
Yeah, so earwax is big fluid behind the eardrum. So we can get fluid behind our eardrums for a number of reasons. Infection, of course, causes fluid behind the eardrum. That's what kids get. And if you've heard of kids having ear tubes, that's why we put ear tubes in. These little teeny tiny tubes in the eardrum help drain fluid. The issue with fluid behind the eardrum stems from a eustachian tube problem. And if you've heard of that, the eustachian tube is the muscle that connects your ear and your nose. So anytime you have nasal congestion or inflammation in the back of the nose, it kind of closes off this muscle, which is supposed to equalize pressure on both sides of the eardrum. So when that happens, it creates this sort of suction behind your eardrum and fluid gets drawn in from all these surrounding tissues. And it'll plug you up because now your eardrum can't vibrate, which is what it's supposed to do, to get sound from the outside of your ear to your hearing nerve. And you can feel muffled, plugged, you feel underwater. Usually you'll feel sick because you have a cold. And fluid can linger for a long time. And people will come in and see me And I tell them they have fluid and they're like, oh, I've been like this for 2 weeks. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. It can take up to 3 months for it to go away. You know, I put people on nasal sprays. If it's infected, of course, we give them antibiotics. But I do have the ability to drain that fluid. I can make a small hole in the eardrum after some numbing medicine and kind of suck that fluid out.
Like with a needle? Or
with a tiny blade.
Yeah.
A little knife. The problem is that hole will typically close within a week, and if you build that fluid back up again, I've really done nothing for you, which is where the tube comes in. So if you make the hole, you suck out the fluid, and you put this teeny tiny tube in. That tube stays in for about a year, comes out on its own, and any time fluid builds up, it will drain out through the tube instead of sitting behind
your eardrum. Does that heal up after? People have asked me that, and since I'm not a pediatrician, I'm not an ear, nose, throat doctor.
Sure.
You put literally a hole in the eardrum. Yeah. It sounds like a bad idea.
Right.
And we're telling people don't put Q-tips in there because you might put a hole in there.
And here I am
and
doing
here you're
it on
saying,
purpose.
Well, let's put a hole in
yeah.
there.
So it heals 98% of the time.
Yeah.
So 2 out of 100 people, that hole will be permanent. It is that's still fixable. We can make little patches we could do like a minor surgery in order to fix it. But majority of people will heal. And kids, the number is even higher. Kids are such good healers. So once those tubes come out, those holes typically heal.
Should we do we have time for the phones?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, a couple of minutes. Let's do that. Let's go to line one. Tim is calling from Roseville. Tim, what is your question? Hello, Tim.
Is a Bluetooth, and there's different kinds. There's kinds that sit outside your ear. There's some that go in your ear. And are they all bad or what?
Hi, Tim. That's a good question. So I don't care if they're in your ear or out of your ear as long as they're not too loud. And by too loud, and I tell people the same thing with headphones listening to music, if the person next to you can hear it, it's too loud. So as long as it's at a level that's comfortable, it's not hurting you, and somebody next to you with no headphones on can't hear it, you're fine.
That's actually a really good kind of practical tip because I've had that exact same question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have some of these noise canceling here,
ear
things, and it's like being in a concert hall.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it could probably be too loud, and you don't even know it.
Right.
Do we have time, or
we have about 60 seconds?
Okay.
To
so
go.
What I'm going to do then, we're going to talk a lot more about hearing aids and some other things like that after the break, and we have an oodles of text messages. We're talking to Megan McCoy from the Ear, Nose, Throat Department at Hennepin Healthcare about hearing loss. I do have a couple of other things I want to mention. Just get your pens ready. Men, on June 20th, our Here for Health series, Thursday, June 20th, we have an event on a men's health seminar. I'll tell you more about it after the break, but get your pens ready so you can write this down. Thursday, June 20th from 6 to 7, men's health. We're going to talk about both bladder problems, prostate problems, sexual health. That'll be at the Clinic and Specialty Center. It's free. So get your pen ready to get information about that. Men's Health, June 20th, 6 to 7 p.m.
Very good. We'll hear more about that. And we have about another half hour of the show to go, so don't go away. Hearing loss is the topic today. Call us or text us, 651-989-9226. In the meantime, text us at 81807. In the Twin Cities, a few clouds, 55 degrees, going for 72 today.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin Healthcare, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Long with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare, with more Healthy Matters.
And good morning. Welcome to this portion of Healthy Matters. We're talking about hearing loss, symptoms and causes of hearing loss. If you have a question about that topic, call it in or text it in. Here's our phone number before we throw it back to Dr. Hilden. 651-989-9226. Text, meanwhile, is 81807. Dr. Hilden, for those folks maybe joined us a little bit late, who did you bring with you today?
Thank you, Denny. Good morning, everybody. I have Megan McCoy in the studio today. She is a physician assistant in the otolaryngology department at Hennepin Healthcare. That's ENT, ear, nose, throat, to most everybody else. Otolaryngology is just kind of like the old term for it, I guess. We're talking about hearing loss. Welcome back to the studio, Megan.
Thanks.
it's good to have you here. We're going to get to the – we're going to talk a little bit about hearing aids, and then we're going to go to the very large number of text messages and phone calls for the rest of the show to answer your questions. I do want to do two bits of housekeeping kind of announcement thing. The first is more just I want to highlight an event happening in about 45 minutes. I'll be going to it. I'm not asking you as listeners to go to it because it's happening in 45 minutes, but I want you to be aware of an organization. It's called A Mile in My Shoes. That is an organization. It's a running club that pairs up people who like to run with homeless people, people who are experiencing homelessness, as running as a way to get to a healthier life and to feel good about yourself and set a goal. So Mile in My Shoes is an organization. It's a nonprofit organization. I encourage you to go to their website, mileinmyshoes.mn, and learn about them. Maybe consider, if you're a runner, maybe you want to be one of the running mentors. If you're not a runner, maybe you want to give them a few bucks. It's a great organization. I bring it up today not only because I'm going to do a 5K about 12 minutes after this show ends, but also because Hennepin Healthcare is a sponsor. And we are trying, as an organization, to do more than just treat people when they get into our clinic. We're trying to be a community partner. And people who are experiencing homeless are people you know. It could be somebody, it could be your family member, it could be a friend, it could be somebody who's hit some hard times. And running has been a great way for a lot of folks to get to a healthier life. And so, mileinmyshoes.mn. Second thing that I told you earlier about the free men's health seminar. This is part of our Heal Here for Health series. That is a series that we do at our downtown clinic and specialty center. They are free and open to the public, where you get to learn firsthand from medical professionals about specific topics. Thursday, June 20th will be a men's health seminar. It's going to focus on conditions that affect many men in the U.S. It'll provide information on the signs, symptoms, latest treatment options for bladder and sexual health conditions. Dr. Travis Pagliara, who's been on this show, he's a Hennepin healthcare urologist and he's a men's health specialist. He'll be there, and he's experienced in helping people who suffer from these things, sexual health issues and bladder problems in men. You can hear about a treatment journey from a real patient. You can learn about physical therapy. You can learn about other treatment options. It's at the Clinic and Specialty Center at Park and 8th Street in downtown Minneapolis. The event is free. It's on June 20th from 6 to 7 p.m., but we do ask you to register so we know how many to expect. These events have been popular in the past, so you won't be alone. You can go and just sit in the room and be anonymous. It's not like it's just you and three people, you know. So the number, 612-873-4960. Note that's different than my usual number I give, 612-873-4960. Or go to the website at hennepinhealthcare.org/hereforhealth. Here, the numeral for health. HennepinHealthcare.org/hereforhealth for a men's health seminar on June 20th. Okay, Megan, back to hearing loss. I want to talk a little bit about, first of all, I'll get to the hearing protection because there's been a lot of texts about what type of hearing protection to use, but I want to talk a little bit about hearing aids.
Sure.
How do you evaluate when someone, first of all, how do they know they should even come and be evaluated, and how is that done? And then talk a little bit about hearing aids, please.
Sure. So anybody who is experiencing any type of hearing loss should come and see us. And it's always going to start with a hearing test. So you make an appointment for ENT, and if you tell the person making the appointment that you're here for hearing loss, they'll automatically schedule you a hearing test, which is going to be with the audiologist. So you'll come and see us, and the audiologist will take you into their booth, and they'll test your hearing. Now, if it's just your run-of-the-mill type of, you know, high-frequency hearing loss, which is what we get as we get older, and there's nothing atypical about the audiogram and the audiologist looks in your ears and they don't see anything abnormal, you probably won't see an ENT because there's, you know, if you want hearing aids, the audiologist will dispense them for you and talk you through that process. But if there is something either atypical that the audiologist sees when they look in your ears or on the hearing test that just doesn't make sense, you will automatically have that ENT appointment scheduled and you'll see one of us to kind of go through that with you and decide what the best course of action is. So hearing aids is typically recommended for people with, you know, your basic hearing loss not conductive, like I was talking about earlier. It's more sensory neural, the type that we can't fix, and the only option is a hearing aid. And if we decide as ENTs that your ears are safe for hearing aids, we can sign some medical clearance if that's necessary for your insurance. And then you'll meet with the audiologist. You'll go over all of your options for hearing aids because, of course, there's a ton of different kinds of hearing aids that exist. There's out of the ear, in the ear, around the ear. And they'll go over the cost with you. Of course, they're not cheap. And then they'll make your ear molds. They'll order them. And they'll fit you with these hearing aids. And your audiologist would be the person that kind of takes care of them for you from then on out.
A lot of people don't like the old style ones that are ugly.
Yeah. So the old style ones, though, are very powerful. And so if you have severe hearing loss, our audiologists, you know, they're to dispense hearing aids, you don't need a degree to do that. You can actually just get like a certificate. Our audiologists all have degrees. And so they're not, you know, they're not paid in compensation. It doesn't matter if you get hearing aids with us or not. And they're very honest with you. And they'll say, you know, you can get the smaller hearing aids, but you're not going to see as much benefit from it. Mm-hmm. And so they're very skilled at looking at your hearing tests and then kind of narrowing the field a little bit and telling you what's going to work best for your type of hearing loss.
We have a question about technology and sure. Like on the phones. Let's take that.
Yeah, Joan in Denver Grove, I think, is on the line. Now, Joan, what is your question?
Well, good morning. Yes, I had a hearing test about 5 years ago, and I was told that my type of hearing could not be helped by hearing aids. Well, that was very discouraging, so I didn't pursue it any further. I wonder if now there are different technologies that could help me.
Hi, Joan. So.
Hi.
There's one thing that I'm thinking that could have showed up on your hearing test. So as our nerves start to die off as we get older, our brain kind of loses the ability to understand speech. So one of the things that we test on a hearing test is called word discrimination. And that's basically a number that tells me how much speech your brain is able to understand if it's made loud enough for you to hear it. And by rule, if you understand less than 50% of what's being said to you, regardless of your hearing loss, hearing aids typically are not going to be a good option for you. And that's because what hearing aids do is they make things louder, but they don't make you understand it. And so it would just be amplifying white noise. And most people find that very uncomfortable. If your word discrimination is very poor, then we would tell people, I'm sorry, but this isn't going to be an option. If it's borderline, there's a 45-day trial period for hearing aids. I would always just recommend try it out. If you hate it, send it right back. But if it does work out for you and you're one of those few people that is fine even getting 50%, then it might still be an option.
Thank you for that call, Joan. There are a great deal of text messages, and I'm going to try to bunch them on topic while we're on hearing aids. Mm-hmm. Here's one that says, my husband has had hearing loss for several years and has refused hearing aids. Mm. Just wondering if he were to get them now, will his brain be able to handle the noise? I have heard that the loss can affect the brain.
That's exactly what I was just talking about with the speech discrimination. And so, again, over time, your brain loses this ability to understand speech. And so if that number drops, then hearing aids don't become a great option. I would still recommend he come in for a hearing test. We can test him, find out what that number is. And again, if it's borderline, I would still recommend a trial of hearing aids just to see how he does.
Okay, we're going to take a break, Danny?
Yeah, let's do that. Quick break, and we have more show to come. If you have a question about our topic, hearing loss, 651-989-9226. I know we have a bunch of text messages, which we'll pick up on when we'll come back. In the Twin Cities, 56 degrees. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to Healthy Matters. We're talking about hearing loss. Dr. Hill, and I can see we have just a ton of text messages.
Yeah, we're gonna continue a little bit about hearing aids. Here is one, a little bit about marital harmony, I think. So I'm going to give this one to you, Megan. How would you suggest to handle somebody that does have hearing loss, wears a hearing aid, however, does not wear them first thing in the morning and becomes combative when he can't hear what I'm saying? Setting the stage for tense things first thing in the morning. Now, I'm not asking you to be like a marital counselor. But there is, you know, are you supposed to put them in right away?
Mean, of course, it's patient preference. I do not recommend wearing hearing aids at night. There are some people who do because they want to hear their alarm in the morning, which, you know, makes sense, right? But your ears do need to breathe a little bit. And so I always tell people, you know, take them out at night, let your ears breathe, let that wax come out. But most of my patients who like their hearing aids do put them in first thing in the morning because they want to be able to hear and they notice a big difference. A lot of patients that I see, I'll tell you, a majority of people in my clinic are brought in by their spouses. And so I ask them, you know, how long have I had hearing loss? Well, my wife says it's been 10 years, you know.
I don't think I have it at all.
Yeah, right, right. So I do see a lot of that. It very often is your loved ones who will recognize this.
There are maybe a dozen text messages about tinnitus.
Oh, sure.
So I'm going to read you one or two of them, and we're going to talk about that topic. This one says, I have tinnitus all the time, which is only slightly annoying, but don't seem to have any hearing loss. Should I see an ENT? And then here's another one that says, I think I have tinnitus more strongly in my right ear. I always hear a very high pitched tone. What can I do? There are more, but let's talk a little bit about tinnitus.
Yeah. So tinnitus is a very common problem. It's estimated that 30 million Americans have tinnitus, myself included. And it's this tinnitus is kind of an umbrella term that just means noise in the ear. For most people, it's a high-pitched ringing. But for other people, it might be like a swishing or a wind type of noise or even a pulsing. Any type of abnormal noise in the ear should be evaluated with a hearing test because it could indicate a problem. Majority of cases are benign, and like that person said, it's just annoying. I see tinnitus all the time. The problem is we don't really know what causes it. It is associated with a high-frequency hearing loss, but not always. I do not have any hearing loss, and I've had tinnitus for years. Because we don't know what causes it, we don't have a great treatment, which can be very frustrating for patients when they come in thinking that they're going to get a solution and for me to make this noise go away. For most people, it bothers them at night when they're trying to sleep. You know, during the day, you don't notice it. You're up, you're walking around, you're working. It's not really bothering you. And then you try and lay down at night and all you hear is this ringing. What the recommendation is for that is some masking, which is basically putting a fan or the TV, a white noise machine, something, some sort of background noise to kind of take your focus, your brain's focus away from that ringing, and will help you sleep better at night. But unfortunately, there's no medication that can get rid of it. There's no surgery that can get rid of it. Every once in a while, we'll get a hearing test that shows an abnormality that needs to be addressed. Or if you have other symptoms like dizziness or other type of abnormalities, then it could indicate a different type of problem.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about hearing protection because there's a bunch of text messages about the various types of earplugs.
Yeah.
One of them talked about the little spongy orange ones versus the wax. I'm not going to read the text because there's a lot of them, but
sure.
They all get down to those wax ones or the little spongy ones.
Yeah.
Or what else?
So I like the spongy ones. That's what we have them in our clinic. That's what I give away.
Don't they fall out?
You got to use them right. So most people don't know how to use them.
I think that'd be me.
So I'll try and explain it, but I think there's pictures on the box. I mean, you have to twist it really, really tight and get it all the way in. And you're not going to hurt anything. It's not going to rupture your
eardrum. That is one of the texters. Does it have the same problem as a Q-tip?
Great question. It does not because it's not long enough. You know, a Q-tip, think about how long these little earplugs are versus the length of a Q-tip. But you got to squish it up all the way, get it all the way in. You should not be able to see any of it just by looking at somebody. It should just barely be coming out of the ear canal. And that's the proper way to use it so that it doesn't fall out. I like those.
What about those wax kinds?
You know, the wax ones, they're okay. I will tell you from my experience, they can melt, and I've had to dig them out of people's ears more than once. I've taken out quite a number.
Well, what are people living in a blast furnace here? Why they melt in their ear?
Yeah. And I recently it was one of our med students actually at Hennepin that came to me and she had put the wax earplug in and she could not get it out. And I'm like out of her ear canal, which is obviously not comfortable. So I'm not opposed to them. I think it's better than nothing if you need an earplug and that's all you have. I think most of the time it's fine. But I do really like those little orange spongy ones.
There's several texts about using water to clean out your ears, and I'll read one of them here that says this. I read an article that recommended keeping your ears clean of wax by showering and directing the water into your ear and then shaking your head to drain the water and the wax out. Is this safe, and should we be concerned about the temperature and pressure of the water entering the ear? And that's one question about that. And then there is another one that talks again about is it okay to squirt water in there on your own?
Yeah, so I like the shower idea. What I typically tell people is put a little bit of peroxide or that Debrox that we were talking about earlier, a couple drops each ear, squish it around, get in the shower. It should be lukewarm water. If it's too hot, it will burn you, and if it's too cold, it will make you very dizzy. Aim the shower head at your ear. It'll flush out that peroxide, and the wax will come with it. I would not recommend shaking your head afterwards. I don't think that's necessary. I don't want you to get dizzy or hit your head on something. The pressure of your shower is not going to be too strong. I mean, it's not like a fire hose coming out of that. So I'm fine with that. And squirting water in your own ear is also okay. That's what they do in primary care to get wax out. Again, the temperature is important. Make sure that it's lukewarm, not hot, not cold. And if you are not getting any luck or if you're getting dizzy, then I'd have a professional do it.
Okay, a couple more questions here. This one that just starts out by saying, elephant in the room. How do family members convince those who need hearing aids?
Yeah.
Especially when insurance doesn't cover it.
It's very hard. I mean, sometimes I feel like a marriage counselor in my clinic because I've witnessed arguments that happen in front of me where the patient doesn't want them and the spouse does. It's tough and they are expensive. I mean, you know, the kind of the bottom line hearing aids are about $1,000 each. So we're talking, you know,
for each year.
So we're talking $2,000 for like kind of the bottom.
And isn't it true that people don't always know what you're missing? You know, you think of like, I'm doing okay.
I know. That's a lot of times we see that. And that's why we have this 45-day trial. And so I always interject in these arguments and say, you know, why don't you just try them? You got 45 days. You hate them. Send them back. But if you like them, you might not know what you're missing.
We've been talking about hearing and hearing loss. There are many more questions that we were not able to get to, but we are out of time. Megan McCoy works in our ear, nose, throat clinic. She's a physician assistant. She sees patients in clinic. She works in the operating room and in surgery. If you want to see an ear, nose, throat clinician, if you want to get a hearing test, it's all kind of a one-stop shop kind of a deal. There's some texts about who do I see, an audiologist or an ENT. That we have them all in the same clinic. Mm-hmm. The number for that is 612-873-6963, or you can always go to hennepinhealthcare.org. Megan, thanks for being on the show.
Anytime. Thanks
for having
me.
It's been great having you on. We'll have you on again in the future. I can always tell when a topic is resonating with listeners by, is this computer screen in front of me? It's scrolling with
it's
text
loaded,
messages.
Yes. We'll do this again.
So we'll have to do another show in the near future.
What's next week's show?
That's a really good question, Denny. I think I'm going to do an open line show.
I think you're right.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right. We hope you join us then. In the meantime, we're going to be back next Sunday morning at 7:30. Your money is straight ahead.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.